Kira.
Well,
thank you.
I'm going to get started now. Vayi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononehu Ve'ine Hashem Nitzav Alav V'gomer Haka Hama Yaakov Kishura Dimhem Nuta Kachad Nitzav Alav Kachad Alav Nitziv Melech Melech Salad called Argin, Carmin, Kulhu, Kahad, Al Hahusulam, Kishra, Pola, Bahad, Kishra, Hagin de Itiahev, Hahu, Tirain, Citrin, Hahidiktiv, Ani Hashem, Elohe, Abraham, Avicha, Velohe, Yitzhak, Haaretz, Gomer, Eleni Nun, Tirain, Citrin, Bimina, Ushmala. And behold, Hashem stood above it. Means that Yaakov saw here in the ladder the knot of faith, which is the nukva, finding all the spherot as one. Stood, which is the Hebrew word nitzav, above it, as a pillar. Hebrew, nitziv of salt, alludes to a mound, for all the grades are as one on that ladder. So that all will be connected into one knot. For this ladder was put between the two sides, and this is the meaning of the verse, and said, I am Hashem, the Elohim of Abraham your father, and the Elohim of Yitzhak. These are the two sides, right and left. Abraham is right, and Yitzhak is left. This is the beginning of a Zohar section dealing with or explaining with the imagery of Jacob's ladder, which is in this week's portion of Vayetzeh. To continue with our normal start, please join me with the Ana B'Koach.
B'Koach, Gedulah Shemincha. Aleph get Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Haberinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufrei Shayin Sin Tet Nun. That sequence of letters spells the words Tra Satan, which means to tear up the satan, the negativity. It's also the verse for this month of Kislev. So we're connect to the letters of the month, the samach, which means to support, and the gimel, which created the planet Jupiter. The samach created the constellation of the Sagittarian, which can be either the rainbow or the centaur. The idea of the shooting an arrow. It's also, if we were in the morning, we would connect to the Tikkun HaNefesh, which we went over last week. Na gibor dorshe yechudcha kevavat shamlem. Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Nun Gimel Dalet is the sequence that has the same gematria as the word zan, which means parnasa. And it that's a good sequence to think about if you're dealing with issues of supporting yourself. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that deals with taking back the energy that we've given to the other side. In Kabbalah, the idea of a sin is not the same concept as what Western society perceives it. In Hebrew, there are five words for sin, but they essentially all deal with the concept of making a mistake or of transferring energy in the wrong way. And that's essentially what a sin is. It's not this horrible thing. It's a mistake. And we are human, put here to make mistakes. And through the learning from those mistakes, achieving perfection. Hasin Kadosh. Excuse me. Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlem. Bet Tetresh Sadi Taf Gimel. Hasin Kadosh Birov Tuvcha Na'el Adatach Betet Resh Sadi Taf Gimel. Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zochre Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pezayim Kuf. Shavatenu kabel Ushmati akatenu Yodeya Talumot Shinkufav Tzadiyutav. Last week we spoke about restriction. We spoke about how restriction is the tool in the arsenal of the Mekubalim, of the Kabbalists. We spoke about the only way to remove bread of shame is through practicing and acting with restriction. Tonight we're going to go into a little more detail, some more academic aspect of restriction, get a better understanding of it. But as everything that is taught in Kabbalah, it's experiential. You have to practice it. You have to do it. And then for yourself. Remember, never believe a word I say. But try the tools for yourself. See if they work for you. You have a question?
No, maybe you have a class. Let me call you back.
I'm not able to hear it. Again?
I apologize, I had a call.
Does anybody have a question? No questions, I'll just start talking a little bit and see where we go. Talking endless, where is the endless world? It's right here. Well, I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't experience it. This is a world that seems to be filled with lack. So how can the endless world, which is endless fulfillment, be right here? And if you'll remember, we said that the physical world is an illusion. That the purpose of the physical world is to remove bread of shame. That the process of being in the physical world allows us to remove bread of shame. So the endless world, which is right here,
even if I can't touch it, I still am existing in that endless world. And through the process of using the tools of Kabbalah, I can make connection to that endless world. That's the essence of when I ask myself a question, should I turn right or should I turn left? Should I marry this woman or should I marry that woman? Should I give this tzedakah or not give this tzedakah? When I ask those questions, if I'm connected to the endless world, that's where I can hear that still small voice that speaks to me and tells me what's the appropriate thing to do in this situation. If I've disconnected from the endless world, that still small voice will be from the other side, if I hear anything at all. In the endless world, there is light and there is vessel. The light is constantly fulfilling the vessel. Every desire that the vessel could ever have, every desire was created by the light for its purpose of being revealed. Every desire, even before it actually could be sensed, was fulfilled in the endless world. Everything is there, and everything is fulfilled. But then, through the process of the four phases, which we spoke about but have not really explained, and through the process of transforming the transcendental energy of the light into the physical forms that it will eventually fulfill in our physical world, as it transforms from energy into mass, as it follows that formula E equals MC squared, as it comes into this physical world, which was created through the tzimtzum of the light, the withdrawal of the light, which is a total illusion because the light is everywhere. But as the light withdrew to make space for making mistakes, there was an agreement reached between the light and the vessel. The vessel said, I'll go into your physical world. I understand that that's a place that I can learn. That's a place I can make a mistake and grow. That's a place that I can earn the light. I can earn the fulfillment. So I'll go there. But we have to have an agreement. And that agreement is, if I don't earn the light, I can't keep it. If I don't earn the light, it's not going to be part of my life in this world. And this agreement rules and monitors our physical world, our physical existence. You have a desire for a brand new car. The only reason you don't have it is you haven't earned it. You have a desire for a steak dinner. The only reason it's not on your table is you haven't earned it. The mechanism that the light created to activate this agreement of I must earn the light in order to keep it, that mechanism the Kabbalists called a masach.
Hebrew word that means a curtain. Now remember, the Kabbalists who gave us this word and are describing this situation, they lived in a world that there was glass, but it was rather expensive. So when they called something a curtain, they were talking about something that was standing in front or within a window that was open to the elements. Didn't have glass to keep the wind and sun out. So we have to understand the Masach, to understand this system, we need to understand what does it mean that something is a curtain, something is a window, and something is a wall. A window is clear. It's an opening in a wall. What is a wall? A wall is a barrier that separates between one physical space and another physical space. But all of that are physical terms. These are, by understanding the physical terms, we can begin to see the root in the spiritual worlds. What's the difference between a curtain and a wall? Or really, what's the difference between a window and a curtain combination and a wall? I have a desire, and I am surrounded by a wall. There is no way that the light can get through the wall in our physical world. I can't walk through a wall. And while there are people who might be able to walk through the wall, to what benefit? It's just as easy to go through the door. I have a desire, and in this physical world, it's surrounded by a wall. But right at the beginning of this physical world, there's a window. And this window has a curtain inside it. And just as a curtain can be moved back by the wind pushing it from outside, or the photons of the light of the sun pushing it towards the inside, there's a little bit of light that can come in through a very heavy curtain. And as the lighter the curtain becomes, there's more and more light that can come into the room. That room represents my desire. My fulfillment is automatic, just like the endless world. But the Masach evaluates, did I earn it? Am I entitled to 100% of the fulfillment based on what I've earned? Or I'm only entitled to 5% of the fulfillment based on what I've earned? I have a desire. I receive 100% of the fulfillment. And the curtain evaluates. Did he remove bread of shame? Did he earn 100%? Oh, no, he didn't. Take it away. But he earned 5%. Leave him with the 5%. He earned 20%. Leave him with the 20%. Just as the curtain can be moved by the wind blowing against it, and it's flexible relative to a wall, which cannot be pierced. The Masach, the curtain in our world, in enforces the agreement. This is how we receive our fulfillment in this world. We have a desire, it is fulfilled 100%. But the only way I can keep that 100% is if I've earned 100%. And the only way I earn in this physical world, not disregarding the physical sense of I go to work and I get a paycheck, the only way I earn fulfillment in this world is through restriction. So let's understand again what is restriction. We use the metaphor of the electric light bulb. Has three components. The sharing pole, which we call the positive pole, the receiving pole, which we call the negative pole, and the filament between them. And the filament says to the electron, I know you want it. I know you want to go over to the other side, but stop. Don't go. And when that action takes place, that consciousness takes place in the filament, the light turns on. When the light turns on, there's no longer positive, negative, and filament. There's only unity. This is the beauty of the electric light. This is the beauty of light. When light is revealed, there is no light and vessel. There is only unity. There is only the endless world of fulfillment. Restriction is our passport, our key to the world of the endless. This is the agreement that we set up prior to creation. This is the agreement that the Masach activates, moderates, and judges. And it's automatic, and it's perfect, because it was created by God. It was created by Hashem. But remember, don't believe a word I say. Just sense it for yourself. I know this is going to come across to people as probably a silly example, but we live in a society that cages its criminals. And there have been many therapists who've tried to work with murderers behind bars. And the essence of the discussion is what happens when you kill someone. And they all repeat the same answer. What a rush. What excitement. What fulfillment. And then the next question is, do you still feel that way? And the answer is no. That rush went away. That excitement went away. Now, I'm talking about murder for the reason that it's people can understand. Taking another life is potentially taking all of the light that person would reveal. Where does that light, potential light, go? It goes to fulfill the person who killed that person. But it cannot stay because there was no earning of that light. The Masach comes in and takes that light away and holds it for another day. It sends it back to where it came from in the endless world until that vessel has earned that light.
fulfillment. We all understand fulfillment. What we don't understand, because we don't sense it with our physical body, is I have a desire, I get fulfilled. I didn't earn it, that fulfillment is taken away. All of which takes place outside of my senses. Because this world is an illusionary world. We talked last week about the cinema theories, the multiplex cinema. And today's modern science teaches the multiplex cinema analogy, but they call it the multi-universes. There's many, many dimensions that are really the same thing, except they're different. Every time there's a decision point in time, a new second, a new universe is created. There are millions of universes that are in potential, and only one becomes actual. And that actual universe becomes actual based on our decisions, based on the masach, based on whether we earn the light or not. When we do restriction, it's like a scale from 0 to 100. There is a desire to receive for oneself alone. That's on the 0 point. There is a desire to receive in order to share. 100% no ego investment. 100% just caring about the other person. That's the scale that everything is measured against. Our physical world is a mixture of good and evil. It's actually, what is good? Clear, simple definition when it comes to the Kabbalists. Good is light. What is light? Light is sharing. Good is the desire to receive for once in order to share. What is evil? It's the absence of light. It's the masach that's come in and taken my fulfillment away. The desire to receive for oneself alone is defined as evil. Restriction is a three-step process. And it's always a mental process. I stop the action. Before I stop the action, I have to have the thought to stop the action. So before I stop the action, before I have the thought to have to stop the reaction, there is a consciousness, a thought, to have to do something. There was a stimulus. Somebody hit me. Somebody stole something that I have. Something blocked my desire for me walking to get it fulfilled. Whatever the stimulus is, the reaction is always a desire to receive for oneself alone. Always. If by definition, by actual practice, it is always a desire to receive for oneself alone. We can fool ourselves. We can pretend. Simple thought. I woke up this morning and I put on underwear. Did I do that with consciousness? Did I do that with the desire for myself? Or did I do that with the desire to share? If I didn't stop the process, if I didn't stop my action and go through the second step, which is to ask myself, why do I want to put on underwear? Well, there's a 0 to 100 scale. I want to put on underwear because it's a habit. Desire to receive for oneself alone. But the fact that I even asked the question, why do I want to put on underwear, instead of just letting the process flow, which is the cassette running, the movie running, I asked the question, why do I want to have a desire? Why do I want to put on underwear? Just by asking the question, I have injected some aspect of sharing into that consciousness of evil, of desire for oneself alone. So what comes back is the thought, I'm doing it out of habit. I don't want to stay in that habit. I want to have a different movie. I want to have a movie that has no negativity in it. It has no chaos in it. How do I change that? Well, what's the reason that I'm wearing underwear? Because my pants will chafe my skin if I don't? Because I will need a heavier shirt because the weather's cold if I don't put on the undershirt? We can go on and on. I'm wearing underwear because this morning when I got up and reached into the drawer, at the moment that I reached into the drawer, I said, I'm wearing this underwear so that I can feel better in order to be able to treat people with human dignity. I will be able to smile because I'm feeling comfortable, because I'm following my habit, which is no longer a habit. It's a conscious decision. Is that 100% sharing? Probably not. But on such a mundane item and mundane level of a rote habit, it's a good first step. Every action that we do, every thought that we receive, and we have to discuss where do thoughts come from. They don't originate in the brain. They originate in the mind, according to the Kabbalists. The brain is that physical thing in my skull. The mind is somewhere outside of myself called my consciousness. The mind is my soul, but that part of the soul that's not in my body. I stop the action and go into my consciousness, my mind, my upper, higher level souls, and say, you're having me do this action. You sent that thought that made me operate, that made me become the robot. I want to stop that. I want to talk about it. I want to raise my subconscious, my unconscious, which is where I'm getting these directions, to the level of being conscious. And I want to do these actions in order to share. Why do I want to do that? Because I know that I can keep the fulfillment when I share. And I know that I will lose the fulfillment when I do it for myself. Well, isn't that selfish? Isn't it wrong to want something for myself? You'll hear many Mukubalim, many people who study Kabbalists, who study Kabbalah, who will answer that question by saying yes and no. Each of you will eventually, once you've tested restriction in your own life, each of you will come to struggle with this question. Is it wrong to want something for yourself? My answer is God created me as a desire to receive. When I participated with Adam, I helped inject the consciousness of the desire to receive for oneself alone, selfishness into to me. There is nothing wrong with having a desire for myself. There is something wrong with having a desire for myself alone. And when I change my unconscious actions, my robotic actions, to being a desire to receive in order to share, that transformation is what I was put into the physical world to accomplish. So, I do have a desire to receive, but I strive to transform that into a desire to share in order to reveal the light, in order to hold on to the fulfillment, which I know as a paradox I can only do when I have the consciousness of sharing. I know this class is a little bit short, but I think we've talked about restriction now for close to 2 hours, an hour and 15 minutes last week and 45 minutes this week. We'll talk about restriction more throughout the rest of these classes. The idea of Torah being the blueprint of creation, meaning the blueprint of how the endless world was created, of how all of the process of coming from the endless into the physical, is Torah. It's this process of changing our unconscious, which is where all of our motivations for actions come from. And as long as we leave it at the unconscious level, nothing changes. But when I stop that unconscious thought and say, come into the light, come out into the open,
let's talk about this unconscious thought, which I know is a selfish thought, and let's transform it into being a sharing thought. It doesn't matter what my action is then. Let's take the example of somebody being at work and their coworker pushes them out of the blue. Coworker got angry. A physical explanation. The coworker came into their space and pushed us. What's the reaction? I can ignore it. I can hit them, push them back. I can yell at them. I can report it to the supervisor. And I can do any one of those things in many different levels. What's the appropriate response? As long as I am playing out the cassette, the effect of my action will be chaotic. That's the rule. Because my consciousness, my reason for doing anything, comes from my unconscious, which is a desire to receive for oneself alone. But when I take that unconscious thought and I bring it out into the open and I transform it into sharing, then whatever action I choose to initiate will be one of sharing. And it will always be a right action. Now, what if my reaction, my initial thought, is the same as my proaction, my actual continuation of the action? I've stopped the action, I've transformed my consciousness, step two, now I do the third step, which is to continue and action. It might be different than the first action that I was doing, it might be the same. But because my consciousness has changed, because I am now in a sharing consciousness, that action can only bring me positivity. It can only bring me a lack of chaos. It can only bring me fulfillment. This is the way the world works. It's not that when I throw a rock at a window, that the rock breaks the window. They've done time-lapse photography. When I throw a rock at a window, before the rock hits the window starts to break. What is that coming to teach us? Nothing in the physical world is a cause. Only spirituality, only non-physical things create the cause. When I stop my reaction and transform from my unconscious thought to my conscious thought of sharing, that becomes the cause for whatever action I did. We came into this world to be a cause, not an effect. Or we were created as an effect to reveal the light. When we are in the physical world, we are able to become a cause. When we transform our desire for ourself alone
into a desire to receive in order to share, we become the cause and no longer the effect. That's what revelation is all about. That's what revealing the light is all about. That's what fulfillment is all about. When I am the cause, I have earned the light. I have earned the fulfillment. And the Masach doesn't take that fulfillment away from me. Are there any questions? Well, I wish everybody good night, and we will meet again next week, Tuesday at 7:30 again. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen V'Amen.